Today's scripture reading comes from Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 and 13. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated.
All right. Get out your Bible if you have one. Galatians chapter 5 is where we're going to be. If you don't have a Bible, just raise up your hand and Jonathan is in the back, or somebody in the back will distribute them to you. And I'll even tell you what page we're going to be on today. If you're new to the Bible, that's cool. We're glad you're here. Or maybe you just need some help along the way. Boy, it is good to see you all this morning. This is a cool time of the year. If you're going to use one of our Bibles that we pass out, then it's going to be on page 975. All right? Man, this is an exciting time of the year. We love this time of year. We always get to see some new people, people from the community that you're maybe have been invited here by somebody that comes to our church, or maybe somebody or somehow you found us online, and either way, we're glad that you're here. This is a unique church, I think. We met in this building for a couple of years. We've got a strong partnership with this school who does a lot to help the children in this community, children and families in this community. We also care a lot about starting new churches all over the city, and we're involved in varying degrees with that. But as we get together in this way, at this time, we like to think of this time as kind of a gathering of the family. And when the family gathers, what we want to do is encourage one another, love one another, have hard conversations at times. And really, ultimately, what we want to do is see more clearly who Jesus is. And I don't know about you, but my experience in the church in general is that sometimes religion keeps us from really seeing who Jesus is. It gets confusing. Our heart this morning is to help you see who Jesus is and what it means that Christ has done something for us at the cross and in being raised from the dead. And in this series that I'm doing called I Can, we've looked at some important passages in hopes that you would believe that this year you can have an awesome year. Raise your hand if you want to have an awesome year this year. All right. All of you should have raised your hand. If not, then you're lame. I hope that you will want to have an awesome year. We want you to have an awesome year. We want our church to have an awesome year. And on that note, before I get into the passage, I want to just remind you that next Sunday is our vision dinner. So we do three vision Sundays a year, but only one of them do we do an actual vision Sunday morning. And then in the evening, we gather again for a vision dinner. We want everybody to be a part of that. Maybe you're new to our church or regular to our church. We want everybody to be a part of it, but we need to know that you're coming. So the way to do that is you can go online and sign up. We've sent out links, or you can today on your communication card, write on your communication card your name and write Vision Dinner. We're asking if you want to throw in $10 to help cover the cost of a meal, we'll take it, but that's not going to keep anybody from going. We want everybody to be there, okay? And that's very important. It's a very important time. Also, today is an exciting today because today, right after the service, we are going to be baptizing somebody. And so I hope you'll stick around after the service for that. Give it up for baptism, huh? Yeah. Baptism is the way that's described in the New Testament as being for those that have trusted Christ in their hearts. They then demonstrate that with this outward sign of baptism, which is really cool, and identify themselves with a local body, with a local church family, which is what we're doing today, which is pretty cool. So we're in this series called I Can. The first week we talked about Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we looked at that passage and said, what is Paul saying that we can do? Well, he actually is saying that we can be content whether we have a lot or have a little. And that was a good time we had a couple weeks ago. Last week we looked at Matthew chapter 5 verse 14, and we looked at this idea of I can be a light. Jesus declares, you are the light of the world. And we said that in response to that declaration by Jesus about us, those of us that trusted Christ, that we get to let our light shine before others. So that was a good time. If you missed those, you can go check them out on the podcast. Next week, I'm going to talk about I can belong, and we're going to talk about what it means to be a belonging to a church family and to be a part of what God wants to do this year. Well, this week, I want to I want to have a conversation with you that is maybe going to feel a little personal. And I've thought a lot about kind of leading up to this day as I've asked the Lord, Lord, what are some passages of Scripture that I can bring to the church that will truly help us have an amazing year? That's the hope that we all have. What do I want to tell you this morning from God's Word that you can believe so that this year you can experience all that God wants you to experience? Well, today where we're going to go is in the truth of this statement, and that is this: I can live free. Today we're going to talk about gaining freedom in areas that you tend to feel captured or are captured right now. The areas of your life that you struggle with, maybe even it's an addiction, something that can keep you from living the life that God promises. You know, freedom and this idea of freedom, it's the central theological theme of the Christian gospel. Isn't that cool? Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, "For freedom, Christ has set us free." I'm going to tell you more about what Paul means in that passage that he's written to the Galatians. But I want you to understand that this is an emphatic declaration that ought to excite us. Christianity and following Christ is about living free in Christ. Now, maybe you're here and you're not a Christ follower, or you're kind of new to the Christian church, checking it out. Maybe at some point in the past you had some experience with the church, but for whatever reason you've kind of lost the love for it, and God and His sovereignty brought you back here today. And so you're wondering, okay, so what is this Christianity thing all about? Does it really make a difference in people's lives? And can it make a difference in my life? I want you to know that for freedom, Christ offers freedom to the Christian. John chapter 8, verse 36 says, "If Jesus sets you free, you will be free indeed." Now, to appreciate this idea of freedom, we must ask a different kind of question. And the different kind of question is this: if we are free in Christ, the question is, was there a captivity? Was there a captivity? Well, Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, now something that you should know about this letter that Paul has written to the Galatians, of all the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to churches, now this is the one that is the most punchy. It's the one where he seems a little agitated / hurried. He hasn't warmed them up too much because he's bothered because the church in Galatia has allowed some false teaching to come in. Well, he introduces very briefly himself and what he's going to talk about in Galatians chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. Look there. If you have your Bible, flip over a couple of pages or it'll be on the screen. We ask the question, what captivity was there? Was there a captivity to appreciate the idea of freedom that he's talking about in Galatians chapter 5? So he says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ," which is common for the apostle and in this day any letter to be written to be opened up in this way. "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, I'm writing in behalf of God to you. Verse 4, "who gave himself for our sins to deliver us." This word "deliver" very much means rescue, to release us from captivity. "Who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of God our Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." So here's what's going on in Galatia. There were some false teachers that were coming in, and they were, in a sense, imprisoning these Christians by telling them that they had to become Jewish by way of circumcision before becoming a Christian. And in our day, any baby boy that's born, most of them are circumcised as a matter of health reasons. But in this day, circumcision was a sign typically only for those that were Jews to identify them physically as different than the Gentiles. Well, the Galatian church had Jews and non-Jews in it, and some of the Jews were saying that the Galatians, the non-Jews, had to be circumcised before they could receive Christ. Here's the problem. The problem is that this is basically saying to them that Jesus plus works equals salvation. Well, Paul's agitated because he's already told them and preached to them, and they've already at one point believed that real freedom is in believing that Jesus alone is salvation. You don't need Jesus plus works. You need salvation is through Christ, faith in Christ alone. Okay? So this is important. So Paul has an issue here because they've been already released from the captivity that comes from misunderstanding what it means to be saved. But there's people that are coming in that are sort of confusing them and trying to say, no, you need Jesus plus works to be saved. And it's important for us to consider this context. Deliverance for them from a works-based gospel allowed them to live the freedom that God provides in Christ. But deliverance from the present evil age also includes rescue from being overpowered by the temptation to disobey God. Let me say that again. Deliverance from the present evil age, which is what Paul's talking to them about, not only does it include false teachings about kind of legalistic gospel, but it also includes a deliverance from being overpowered by the temptation to disobey God, to sin against God. So what Christ does is he gives you the power to obey God and to be freed up from the things that you struggle with. What do you struggle with? What is the thing or two in your life that you tend to fall into that keeps you from the life God wants you to have? Here's what I believe. Everybody has them. Everybody. I have them. I mean, I'm a professional Christian. I get paid to be a Christian, and I have them. So if I have them, I know you have them. What do you struggle with? You see, here's what Christ offers. Christ offers freedom. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. God has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. If this is true, then why is it that so many people who claim to be Christian struggle to live as freed people? Why do we, for those of you that are Christians, why do we continue to struggle to resist sin? I mean, if Christ has set us free, then why is it that we oftentimes live shackled? We run to the prisons of addiction and struggle. What are those things? Lust. Addiction to some sort of narcotic or something that you consume too much of and you know it keeps you from the life that God wants you to live. Pride, jealousy, arrogance. What are the things that are struggles for you? If we don't talk about these things in this series, I can be as positive as possible about how great your year could be, but we would be, if we ignore these areas that are like very real to us, you and me, then I would essentially be lying to you. We can't ignore them. In Christ, we are free, but sometimes we just feel so trapped. So we have to ask the question, is the Bible lying? Is Paul lying when he says that we're free? Look at this second part of that verse. He's already said, for freedom, Christ has set us free. The second part of Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, stand fast, therefore, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. So this is a command. It's in the original Greek language, Paul has emphasize the work of Christ to free us, and then in the second part, we see what we are to do in response to it, right? We are to stand fast. Paul loves this idea of stand fast. He's used it a few other times. Philippians 1:27, he says, stand fast in the faith. Philippians 4:1, stand fast in one spirit. 1 Thessalonians 3:8, stand fast in the Lord. So he likes this idea of responding to what God has done to you for you in Christ by standing fast. And Christ has set us free, and so we ought to stand fast. Here's how we deal with struggle is we stand fast, and we do not let ourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. So what Paul's telling the Galatians here is he's saying, don't let somebody come in and enslave you again to this works-based understanding of what it means to follow Christ. And if we were to double-click on that and say, we could all say, we must be resisting anything that could come in and enslave us even after we've chosen to follow Christ. So you said yes to Jesus, you understand that you are free, but even after that, it seems that there's this force, there's this thing happening outside of us that's always seeking to enslave us. And in fact, I don't want to get into it, the nuance of the language too much, and I'm just trying to impress you, but it's the language, it's a passive tense when it says, do not let yourselves be burdened again. In other words, it's saying like you're standing there and there's an outside force wanting to work against you to enslave you again. It's interesting. So what do? We stand fast and we cannot allow ourselves to be enslaved again. The areas that you and I tend to struggle with are a big deal. And Paul's telling the Galatians not to allow themselves to be enslaved again, because if they live as slaves, they're not living the life that Christ makes available to them. Right? Do you feel that? We must deal with it. Christ has set us free. Capture is always still possible. In the midst of it, we must choose to stand firm. I think this idea of Christians continuing to struggle even after saying yes to Jesus is very interesting. And we see it throughout Christian history, like people that are considered to be kind of the most amazing Christians ever. A guy like Augustine wrote a book, he lived near the 4th century and wrote a book called Confessions, which a lot of it is basically him talking about his struggle, all the while kind of teaching really profound theological ideas that come out of his understanding of the New Testament. Of course, we could go all the way back to the Apostle Paul. Do you know the Apostle Paul talks about his own struggle in Romans chapter 7, where he says, in Romans chapter 7, verse 21, he says, I've discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart. In other words, I love doing what God wants me to do with all my heart, but there's another power within me that is at war with my mind. And this power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am, Paul says. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? So the Apostle Paul struggled. You struggle. I struggle. I'm just trying to churn it up a little bit, that we can just be honest about the reality that we want to have an amazing year, but many of us know that there's like one or two temptations that could keep us from experiencing the year that God wants us to experience this year. I mean, we said from the beginning as a church, we just want to be open and honest and authentic about these things. We want this to be the kind of place where you could say, you know what, I am struggling. And rather than being shunned or judged, you instead would be warmly welcomed and loved and cared for. So you struggle, I struggle. When Paul is wrestling with his own heart, when he says, why is it that I do the things I don't want to do when I know I should not do them? What a wretched person I am, he says. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? He answers it in verse 25. He says, thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. What I want you to understand is not only does Jesus save you or rescue you and invite you into a life of freedom in Christ, but he is continually available to you to release you from captivity in your struggle. So Jesus saves us, saved us, and he's saving us. The point person this year for us in the midst of struggle is Jesus. There is freedom in Christ. When we talk about standing firm, it's not a passive position. It's not just like, well, I'm going to give it to the Lord and not care. It's about being quite active. I want to tell you a little bit of a story that I think helps us think about this. A number of years ago, my wife, and I did ask her permission to share this, which is a good practice, by the way, men, before you start telling stories about your wife. I love her. We have a great marriage, and she's beautiful. I'll say that prior to telling the story. A few years ago, Jeannie had a little sore on her toe, like her ingrown toenail. I mean, she's got nice feet. I don't want anybody to get any ideas that she's got, like, real nasty feet. Afterwards, maybe on the, you could take your shoes off and, no. Okay. And she had an ingrown toenail on her nail, and that was bothering her, but she didn't deal with it. And, she left it, and it got a little worse and a little worse. And I tell her, I said, Jeannie, you need to go to the doctor about that. And she's like, well, you know, it's probably not a big deal. She may have even said, I'm just going to give it to the Lord. And I said, you got to go to the doctor. You got to deal with this. You got to be active. I mean, you know, trusting the Lord also requires some activity on our part, right? And so she didn't go to the doctor. So eventually it got so bad, she went to the doctor. The infection went from a little thing in her toe to an actual infection in her bone of her toe. And it's the kind of thing that can become an issue in your blood and you can actually die from. Now, I thought that might give a little bit more drama. So I'm going to say it again. I would like everybody to be like, okay, so it's the kind of thing that can get into your bone and get into your blood and you can actually die from. Yeah, thank you. And so she goes to the doctor and she finds out. And so for quite some time, the remedy was she had to have a PICC line put in her arm, and she had to walk around the house with an IV with medicine a couple of times a day. So imagine this, my beautiful wife, we have young children, and she's walking around the house with an IV with a little like bag of fluid, super juice in there, and it all started with this little issue that she ignored. And giving it to the Lord is one thing, but certainly we want to think also about being active. What do we do? What do we do when there's an issue in our life? We can't just say, oh, I'm going to ignore it. I got other toes. Right? You can't do that. You have to say, and that's part of the problem. So some of you, it's like standing waist deep in the ocean, and you know the struggles are coming, the temptations are coming, and what we must do is stand firm and ready ourselves for them so that we don't get knocked over. But what happens sometimes is the waves are coming, and we're so used to being knocked down by the temptation that we've just decided just to lay there. And what happens? When you've been knocked down by the waves in the ocean, you eventually drown. So what I want you to think about as I talk about the freedom that Christ gives in this idea of struggle is I want for you to think about what will I do to stand firm this year so that I can live free and not allow my struggle to keep me from the life God wants me to live. I've got a few suggestions as to what you can do specifically. And I want you to know that in thinking about this sermon, I actually asked somebody in our church who's a very faithful person that I know is battling a struggle that's very real and very common. And this person is in the middle of this. I mean, he's trying to discover what does it mean to stand firm when this temptation will come at me again and again and again and again and tempt him and sometimes knock him down. But what does it mean? And so I asked him, I said, I want you to help me put together my sermon. And so some of these ideas come out of his very fresh understanding of what it means to gain victory in Christ and to walk in freedom in the midst of struggle. So here's what they are with his help. I submit them to you. First of all, tell somebody that you're struggling. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, confess your sins to one another, one to another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. You were made to be known. And I've been in church world for a long time. And I've not been in a lot of places where I feel like I could tell somebody where I'm really struggling and continue being loved. and embraced. I think this is that kind of place. I hope it is. We may not completely understand how to help you, but we're willing to wrap our arms around you and say that we love you and we are with you. Here's the thing about struggle. If you are struggling secretly, alone, and nobody knows, you are in trouble. That ought to scare the hell out of you. If you are struggling with something and nobody knows, you are in trouble. And one thing that keeps us from being willing to share with another person that we are struggling is a heavy blanket of shame. You know what shame is? Shame is that voice that is toxic and presses down on you that says you're no good, you're worthless, you don't really love Jesus, God doesn't care about you. How could you do that again? That's the shame voice. And if we are isolated in that struggle and unwilling to tell somebody that we're struggling, then we're in big trouble. And here's the thing about Jesus. God didn't save you because you were good enough. He saved you because of his love in the midst of your mess. So the reason that we are willing to tell another person that we begin to trust about our struggle is because God's love for us is not contingent on our living perfect lives. And so that's how we treat one another. Tell somebody you're struggling. I in the last few months have had the heartbreaking role of walking with three pastors, godly, amazing men who lost their position in the church because they failed. They did something really horrible morally. And the reality with each of these guys is that along the way they began to struggle and they weren't able to share it with anybody. And I want you to know, you can tell somebody in this church that you're struggling. And I think I can speak on behalf of Andrew and the other pastors in this church to say there's probably not a lot that you're going to tell us that we haven't heard already or struggled with ourselves. So tell somebody. A second thing that I would offer to you as a way of standing firm so that you can live the freedom that Christ makes available to you is to see the struggle for what it is. You see, my observation of the years is that the struggle is typically a symptom of something deeper going on in your heart. The problem is never the problem. And part of the journey in the context of community and like church family and loving one another and working out the gospel and trusting one another is beginning to take that really hard journey into our own hearts. We begin to think carefully about why is it that I struggle with this? Could it be a revelation of a deeper issue that I need to deal with? This friend in our church wrote these words about this idea of a deeper heart reality. He says, for many people, the struggle was developed out of coping with trauma or emotional trauma, and then it becomes a default mechanism whereby they cope with stress or difficult things. That is so true. The things that I struggle with in my life that I'm tempted by and sometimes I fail in are a symptom of a deeper heart issue within me. I'm talking about myself. Are a symptom of a deeper heart issue in me that was affected by things that happened over the course of my life. The same is true of you. And that's a hard journey, and it takes a lot of courage, and you will not be able to do it alone. I don't know about you, though. I want to live the freedom that Christ makes available. And so even though it's difficult to get in those places in our heart that are the root of our external struggle, I think I want to do it. I want to do it every day, but every once in a while I want to go there. The third thing that I would submit to you as it relates to this idea of living in freedom and standing firm in the midst of struggle is that you ought to give it time. We have so many achievers in this church, so many people that are either successful professionally in the later season of their life, or those of you that are in the younger season of your life and you are beginning to be successful professionally, and you're achievers, right? And so you see a task, you want to get it done. And what I want you to know about this idea of standing firm and experiencing the freedom that Christ makes available to you is that it takes time. This is one place where the church comes in. This is why you find a church that you can begin to think of as being like a family, and you walk together, and it gets messy together, and you get in conversations with one another, and you begin to trust one another, because the struggle to get at our heart and to allow the Spirit to expose it and to heal it, it takes time. But if we ignore it, if we ignore the things that are in our heart that result in sin, we will not live the kinds of lives that God has made available to us through Christ. And it just takes time. It really does take time. And for some of you, you kind of come to this church and you go to that church and you go to this church and you go to this church. And what I would just encourage you to do is find one that you can really connect with and dive into and be a part of, even when it's not exactly what you want it to be. And it won't be. I mean, this is a great church. I think it's a church that I would attend even if I didn't work here. I'm happy with it, but it's not a perfect church. Find one that you can walk with and take the time with to allow the Spirit to expose your heart so that we can get at issues related to why you're tempted to disobey God, and so that you can live in freedom in Christ, and so that you can walk with others in the same journey. Because see, here's the thing. When Paul's telling the church at Galatia that for freedom Christ has set us free, do not submit again to the yoke of slavery, what he's ultimately wanting them to do is experience this freedom so that they can love others. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. He goes on to say, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Do not let use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh." So we're not free to just to do everything. We're free to obey and enjoy Jesus. But through love, serve one another. So ultimately, what the result of being the kind of people who can walk in freedom is that we can more fully, we have more fully the capacity to love other people in a way that honors God and builds his kingdom. So what is it that you struggle with? What is it? Are you willing to talk to somebody about it? And you say, "Well, if Russell knew this about me, he might not like me." I promise you this. For the person that helped me do this sermon, when I found out what he was struggling with, there was no part of me that felt like rejecting him. If anything, I just was inspired by his courage to be honest. Because here's what I know. Everybody struggles. Everybody. Can you imagine this year living in freedom, being in relationships with people where you are known, even in the midst of your struggle, where you get to know them in the midst of their struggle? For some of you, one really cool thing about being connected to the church is that you can quit being all about your own struggle. You can, in fact, get with somebody else in the midst of their struggle. I can be free. If Christ has set us free, we are free indeed. I hope that you believe these things and will live by the truth of God's word. And you say, what do I do next? Here's what I would say to you. If you want to talk to somebody on one of the pastors, or maybe you want to be connected with another person in the church that can be sensitive to your struggle, you just need help. Here's what you do. Fill out a communication card and say, have a pastor contact me. We'll contact you. And anything you share with us will be completely confidential. But we want to help you. We want to walk together. Will you live in the freedom that Christ makes available to you this year? I hope and pray that you will, and I hope and pray that I am able to. Let's think on and pray about these things together. Just bow your heads. If you're here and you've never said yes to Christ for the very first time, and you want to take a step over the line of faith and begin to experience the freedom that Christ makes available to you, then do it today. Here's what you do. Something like this. You say, God, forgive me of my sin. I want to begin a relationship with Jesus. If you're willing to do that, the Bible says there's a mysterious exchange that happens. Your sin goes to Jesus on the cross, and his righteousness comes to you in 2017. You're no longer an enemy of God, but you become a friend of God, a child of God. If you're here and the talk of a secret area of struggle kind of pricked something in your heart because you know you have one, right now, I want you to hear the words of Paul in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. So just take this time and just sink deeply, let your heart sink deeply into the truth that God loves you and is for you. He knows you better than you even know yourself. And in spite of knowing you, is completely crazy about you. So I think I've said enough, and I just want to ask Lauren to lead us in a song of response. If you want to talk to somebody, I'll be standing here in the front. You can come and talk to me, and I'll pray with you, and we'll just take some time to respond. You can sing along if you'd like, or if you want to just keep your head bowed and pray, or sit there quietly, whatever you want to do, feel free to respond. We don't want to go too quickly past this time, and then I'll come back up and lead us in the taking of the Lord's Supper.